following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome, everyone, to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. Happy week 17. It is the final week of the regular season. We're steamrolling ahead to the playoffs. However, before we can get into that, we've got to focus on the final task at hand, the Chicago Bears Sunday late afternoon. A lot on the line on Sunday. The Packers fighting for the top seed in the NFC, the Bears just fighting for a playoff spot. So we'll hit on all of that in just a moment. However, before we get into that today, we've got to talk about some big transactional news. The Packers claim defensive tackle Damon Snacks Harrison off of waivers on Wednesday, and he is coming to Green Bay. Big news for the Packers to have some depth along the defensive line. There was a little bit of speculation. It was a bit of an emotional roller coaster, Tom, for Packers fans for maybe a half hour, at least on the internet, after Harrison had tweeted in the days leading up to being claimed that he was not interested in being claimed off of waivers, that he wanted to be able to sort of control his own fate. However, it appears that there was a short list of teams that he would be willing to report to, and the Packers are one of them. Now that he is coming to Green Bay, won't be able to play this weekend against the Bears because of COVID protocol, what can Packers fans expect to see from Snacks and the role that he'll play in Green Bay?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, is there anybody who communicates through Twitter more than any NFL player, I should say, than Snacks Harrison? I mean, that guy, I don't think you even have to get an interview with him. He's on Twitter so much, but it'll be interesting. I think this is one of those, there's nothing to lose kind of maneuvers. So you pick him up on waivers, you are gonna have to cut somebody. Maybe Anthony Rush, who they don't seem to be interested in playing after picking him up about 3 weeks ago. But you bring him in, you give him a physical, and if he's grossly out of shape or, has an injury, then you let him go. And that's that. But it's worth looking, and he might be able to add something. Seattle didn't think he could. And they're in the same position as the Packers. So maybe they just felt like in their defense, adding a guy like that could pay off. I don't know. It seems like in whole, they are preparing for the playoffs. They're adding pieces that give them insurance in case they get injuries in the playoffs.
Right. Harrison turned 32 last month. This is his ninth NFL season. He joined the Seahawks back in early October, and he was reportedly also going to be trying out with the Packers around the same time. He visited the Seahawks first, and before he could fly out to Green Bay to try out for the Packers, the Seahawks offered him the practice squad spot. He accepted, and shortly after, he was elevated to the active 53-man roster, played six games with the Seahawks, had nine combined tackles and a forced fumble, until eventually this past week against the Los Angeles Rams, the Seahawks didn't want to activate him for the game. They were going to have him listed as a healthy scratch. And to that, he said, peace out. I suppose he knows what he wants at this point in his career. And if the Seahawks no longer needed him, it sounded like they had some injury issues earlier in the season, which is why the Seahawks were interested in him initially. Those injuries, those people who were injured, got healthy, came back. The Seahawks wanted them active over Harrison, and Harrison said, all right, I'll take my talents elsewhere. Now the Packers, the defensive line isn't necessarily in an unhealthy spot. Clark is healthy. He was healthy, I believe, at the time the Packers were interested in him too. He was dealing with a groin injury a little bit earlier. But Montrevious Adams had gone on injured reserve. They had just picked up Billy Winn was active, and they were still, who else? I don't remember if they had any other issues. Oh, and that was around the time they had claimed Anthony Rush. So they were looking for some insurance on the defensive line, and now I guess they'll just have some more depth, but how many games is he going to play in? I guess we'll find out soon enough.
I think it, Tyler Lancaster was kind of nicked up back then too. So, yeah, I don't know how many games he's got left, but they only need to find, you know, maybe one or two that he can help them in. Their rotation is pretty set on the defensive line. My guess is, you know, he could help them in goal line. He could take up a few snaps if they face a really run-oriented team. That's all I can think of. I think people are expecting a lot more than they're going to get out of him if he does play. He's at the end of his career. He's not the player he was. I think it's, again, insurance, just like they signed the kicker, just like they signed the punter to the practice squad. In case something happens to somebody, they got a guy who can come in and knows the defense and can play right away.
Yes, Tom, you mentioned it. The Packers signed punter Ryan Winslow earlier this week. So there's more insurance along with kicker J.J. Molson heading into the playoffs. Winslow, fun fact, we went to middle school together. He is from the Philadelphia area. Not that we will really ever be able to discuss that because he is now on the practice squad and we don't have access to any of these players. However, fun, very exciting fun fact. J.J. Molson has probably more fun facts about him, seeing as he is an heir of a beer empire and has ancestors and relatives that earn professional hockey as well. But Ryan Winslow went to middle school with Olivia Reiner. So
well,
pretty,
there's two famous guys.
Pretty, you know, prestigious.
Incredible background.
Yes, yes. His father was also a punter. I believe he was the first scholarship punter at the University of Wisconsin. So he, you know, also very notable pedigree and also went to middle school with me. So pretty cool. So yes, those are the most recent signings that the Packers made. And then of course, some injury updates, all fairly positive injury updates. First of all, running back Jamal Williams was at practice yesterday participating after missing all of last week with a quad injury. We'll see exactly what that implies for his status on Sunday. However, that's a good step in the right direction. And then safety Will Redmond and tight end Jay Sternberger, who had each been in concussion protocol. Not sure if they're fully out of the concussion protocol. However, they were also participating in practice yesterday. Yesterday was more of a walkthrough for the Packers, so not a lot of, you know, high intensity work. However, good to see them both. The Packers are happy to see both of them back out there, especially Sternberger, who was injured back in week 12 and had been MIA for quite a while. He was dealing with an illness as well last week. So that could have contributed to him being out too. So good. They're all, you know, trending in the right direction. Tackle Rick Wagner, who left Sunday's game early with a knee injury. He was present at practice. He had his helmet. However, did not participate. Injury designation, he was a non-participant, I suppose, since it was a walkthrough. Again, probably wasn't, you know, there wasn't much to participate in for him in terms of physical activity. However, you know, we'll see exactly what his designation is on Thursday and then on Friday, and then they'll make a decision on him leading up to the game as well. So taking steps in the right direction, Tom.
Yeah, I really, the guy, of course, I think who matters the most is Jamal Williams. And I'm curious to see him get on the field just to see how they use the three running backs. I think that's going to be fascinating. Find out what their plan is. And if, you know, I think if Jamal Williams was practicing, my guess is he's going to play. This injury wasn't serious. And if he can run or whatever, I think he'll be okay. So here we go. Now maybe the Packers become a major running team going into the playoffs.
Three running backs, three quality running backs. A good problem to have for head coach Matt LaFleur. However, a problem nonetheless. Got to figure out how to get them all involved. So Packers Bears, this storied rivalry coming up in, I don't know if prime time, a prime afternoon slot for the Packers. The last time that the Packers faced off against the Bears was week 12. Previously on Packers Bears, Packers trounced the Bears 41-25. That game was quarterback Mitch Trubisky's big debut since week three. He had been replaced by Nick Foles. However, Foles was injured. Trubisky took over his first start since week three, and Trubisky has been at the helm ever since. And the Bears have been on a roll over the last several games. They are coming off of three straight wins. The past four games, they're averaging 35 points. And I was discussing this with our fellow Packers news reporter, Ryan Wood, yesterday on our live stream. And he pointed out, well, okay, who are the Packers or who are the Bears' recent opponents? The Lions, the Texans, the Vikings, and the Jaguars. So perhaps that might be a reason for the Bears' recent success, or quarterback Mitch Trubisky is just on a tear. Tom, yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think you cannot dismiss that. I don't know. You can't dismiss that they've had an easy schedule. So that certainly has something to do with it, but they've also kind of gotten better in a few areas, shored up some areas they were not doing well with when they faced Green Bay the last time. One was the offensive line. They've made a few changes, and they moved Cody White here out of center and moved him to guard, and I think that's kind of helped them, I think it's helped Mitch Trubisky, because I think from what I've heard, he had some trouble with calling out signals and things like that. So that part is different. The other thing, they didn't have Akeem Hicks at that time. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. So they were able to take advantage of it. I think their whole game plan was based around, taking advantage of that. So I don't think the Bears are primed for, a run to the Super Bowl, but I think all things considered, they're going to give the Packers a run for their money on Sunday. And they've got a little bit of confidence. And again, yeah, they haven't beaten anybody, but who cares? You know, when you're on a roll and you're at home and it's game 17, sometimes, or week 17, sometimes that's all it takes.
Speaking of a run, Tom, how do you like this transition? One of the benefits that the Bears have seen from moving around their offensive line a little bit is they're having a lot more success running the ball. David Montgomery over the last several games has really come on. All three of his 100-yard games that he's had this season have come over the last 5 weeks. He is fifth in the league right now in rushing yards behind Aaron Jones, and he has 1,001 rushing yards. Half of those have come over the last five games. And he's had seven touchdowns this season. Six of those have come over the last four games. So you're seeing the emergence of the Bears running game as well. How might that, play into this week with, the Packers, who have been playing better run defense over the last several games, coming off a game where they held Derrick Henry to 98 rushing yards. How might that carry over to this weekend?
Yeah. I just double checked it, and Sam Mustipher, the guy who's playing center for them now, who moved in, that was actually the first game they did that was against the Packers. And since that time, and that was also, I believe, Montgomery came back from a concussion, and they had some success running the ball. And that's what they need to do. Two things I think are really key to this game. One, Packers have to stop the run just like they did Derrick Henry. And then they have to keep Mitch Trubisky in the pocket. They can't let him keep getting first downs on third and seven, by running. They're going to have to consider playing a little bit more zone just so they have an eye on him. I think, Allen Robinson's always a threat. Jimmy Graham's a little bit of a threat in the red zone, but Trubisky himself is not going to beat you. So they have to force him to make some mistakes, to keep him where he's not as good, which is in the pocket. and then just keep Montgomery from going off. If they do anything on Sunday, keeping Montgomery from having a huge game is most important.
You mentioned Akeem Hicks not playing against the Packers in week 12. Akeem Hicks is back and healthy and presumably ready to play this weekend. Akeem Hicks, he leads the team with 19 quarterback hits. He has 3.5 sacks. He makes quite the tandem with Khalil Mack, who has 8 sacks. And Bilal Nichols has also come on this season with 5 sacks, including 3 sacks over week 13, 14, and 15. He had a sack in each of those games. So a defensive front that's really going to challenge this Packers offensive line that has been playing well as of late. However, you know, we've seen a couple games here and there. I mean, the Bucs game was a long time ago. The Panthers game too, we can lump in there as well as one of the games that the Packers offensive line didn't, you know, perform so well in. How do they make sure that they have a good game and not one of those crummy games that they've had sporadically throughout the season?
Yeah, it's as you look into this game, the Packers have been playing so well on offense, other than that Carolina game when they faced a bizarre defense and then they needed to run the ball more and they didn't. You kind of get the feel that they can score against anybody. You know, Tampa Bay withstanding, they have just, you know, put points on every opponent just about. So you go, I think this is a good test, but if I'm Matt LaFleur, I wouldn't go into this game worried. I'd go in confidently and thinking, you know, let's put 400 yards on these guys. And then see what happens. Don't play it too close to the vest. Don't play it carefully. If you lose, you lose. But at least if you're going to lose, do it all out. And so I think they should have a very aggressive game plan. And then defensively, we have to find out whether last week was a fluke. Can they actually play as good a defense, all around defense, as they did last week? And, you know, if they do that, they take a ton of pressure off their offense. So I think, as always, the offense will lead the way, but they shouldn't get too conservative. They should go ahead and attack these guys.
Every season is different. However, the Packers have a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers that has had a lot of success in his career against the Bears. He is 20-5 against the Bears as the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and has a passer rating of 103.5 overall against the Bears in 25 games. And of the starters that have attempted more than 250 passes against the Bears, Rodgers has the best passer rating. So, you know, a hot season for Aaron Rodgers going into a game, a common opponent against a team that he's very aware of what's on the line this weekend. They all are, you know, should make for a really, really interesting game this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I went back and looked because it was really Brett Favre who broke the spell the Bears had over the Packers and just swung the series in Green Bay's favor. He went 22-10 against the Bears, and they had some much better teams than Rodgers has faced for the most part. But I mean, just consider that 20-5 and 22-10, they've gone 42-15 with those two quarterbacks. And it's just, you know, incredible that they have had that much sustained success against their rivals. So Rodgers, he's had some tough games in Chicago, but he's just had some miracle games there too. He seems to really play well there or play clutch. And I think it's just, you know, I think the Packers continually win the battle of the quarterback. And that's almost always the difference. So I would expect him to have a big game again. You know, the only way it wouldn't is if the offensive line stumbles and Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks are all over him.
Doesn't hurt that Rodgers has Davante Adams to throw to in these games, and possibly because Adams faces off against the Bears more than a lot of receivers do. But dating back to 2014, he ranks at the top of the league against the Bears in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. There's a lot on the line for Davante Adams personally. Number one seed in the NFC North, or excuse me, in the NFC, is the most important goal for this weekend for the Packers. However, Davante Adams is within reach of yet more milestones. Somehow he keeps racking them up this season. He can secure the franchise record in single season touchdowns this weekend. He can tie the record. Sterling Sharp set that record, 18 touchdowns in 1994. Davante Adams can tie that with one more and surpass it with one more than one, two or more. These milestones, what do they mean to him, to the game of football in general?
Well, he's establishing himself as, you know, the modern day top receiver in Packers history. I mean, I still think Sterling Sharp and James Lofton are a step ahead, but not by much. He is moving on them, and he's still fairly young. He's got several more years of being in his prime, and those numbers are, as long as Rodgers is around, those numbers are going to keep going up. Regarding him, he said something really interesting in post-game, after the Tennessee game. He was talking about how he likes playing teams who have a good defense, because typically they'll just play their defense and they won't try to overcover him. Sort of like this week, you know, he's going to be facing Kyle Fuller, and Kyle Fuller is a good corner, and Chicago's going to leave him one-on-one on Fuller sometimes, maybe a good amount of time, especially if they want to stop the run. So this could be a big game for Davante Adams. He just seems to love any kind of matchup where it doesn't matter who the corner is. It's more like, what is the coverage? Give him some single coverage, and he doesn't care who the corner is. So that'll be something to watch too. He could be in for a big game.
Absolutely. Definitely something to keep an eye on there. So of course, got to keep an eye on special teams too. Return specialist Cordarrelle Patterson is one of the league's best. I believe he's headed back to the Pro Bowl, or whatever is the Pro Bowl this year. Still a prestigious designation and honor. However, not an actual game this year, unless you count Madden as an actual game, which is an actual game. However, not in a real IRL game. So yes, he had a kick return for a touchdown recently against Minnesota. Packers special teams have been consistently underwhelming. So, I guess, how concerned are the Packers at this point that special teams could potentially be an Achilles heel heading into the playoffs?
Well, they should be really concerned. I think, you know, they had a play last week that might have turned the game around if the officials hadn't blown that call. You know, a block punt and a guy returns it all the way down. I'm sorry, block field goal, and he returns it all the way deep into Packers territory, and they call some kind of phantom offsides. I've looked at that play several times, and I cannot figure out who was offsides. So, but you got to count that play as a special teams gaffe, and every week it seems like it's a big play. I think maybe, was it Carolina or Detroit? Maybe Detroit was the only game they didn't have a big gaffe. It's very concerning. And so LaFleur's got to get that cleaned up and figure out some kind of way with Sean Menenga to make their special teams better. And then not only that, Menenga's facing his mentor, Chris Tabor, this week. They worked together in Cleveland, and Tabor is one of the best special teams coaches in the NFL, and he will have a lot of things to throw at Menenga.
lots to keep an eye on there. Packers special teams. We'll see if they can hold firm, at least not give anything big up. That seems to be the a good game for the Packers special teams units was when nothing noticeable happens. Cool. So yes, final game of the regular season. And then we're into playoffs mode. As we mentioned at the top of the show, a lot on the line for the Packers this weekend. We'll see if they can secure that top seed in the NFC, get a first round bye, home field advantage. All of that stuff is important heading into January at Lambeau Field. Very cold. Don't want to play. No one wants to come play here in that weather, especially not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the New Orleans Saints. No, thank you. Tom, is there anything else you wanted to hit on before we wrap things up here?
Yes, I do. I just wanted to look at the playoff scenarios because there are a couple of things that matter. So, you know, everything might go as planned, but not, you know, crazy things happen in week 17. So let's, with the Packers, let's say they lose to Chicago. How do they get back in? Well, they would need Seattle to lose. Either way, if Seattle loses, then they are in. They win, they're in. So, or tie, they're in. Seattle loses, they're in. And Chicago can get into the playoffs either with a victory over Green Bay or an Arizona loss. So it's very possible they could be right in the playoffs no matter what happens. So there's all kinds of, there's a couple of different scenarios, but for the Packers, it's just easiest to win. And you get the bye and you're playing at home for as long as you stay alive.
And you get to rub the Bears' face in the dirt a little bit, which I'm sure if you're the Packers, that probably feels pretty good, knowing that you can play a role in keeping the Bears out of the playoffs.
Potentially, yes.
Potentially, yes.
But sweeping them is big, too.
Awesome. Yep. Well, that is going to do it for us today, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com for all of your Packers coverage. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. We will be back after the Bears game to wrap things up and to look ahead to the playoffs. For Tom, I'm Olivia. We'll see you next time.